Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focus on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And clearly now, as you are listening to our joyous voices, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, it's Thursday, I'm not really creative-worthy, but I'm glad you're listening-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions.
All right. As always, before we get started, Christy, how are you doing today?
I'm a little bit better than I was yesterday. I'm a little on the upswing, but I'm definitely in the kind of depression area of the grief cycle right now. I'm reaching to find positivity.
I think I find myself in a similar place. It's one of those days where I'm going to have to really dig hard to keep my eye on the good. And I am committed to keeping my eye on the good, which is why we're starting this day with this podcast.
Yes. And Summer's connecting with you each day helps bring me up, and connecting with the Optimist Daily and the solutions that really are out there is what keeps me focused on positivity and moving forward in my life.
Yeah, me too. Well, with gratitude, I am delighted to start our first story from the environment and public policy sections of the Optimist Daily. Amsterdam is ditching broken economic system for the donut model. This is one of those stories that you might look back to in a few years and remember as the starting point of a huge change in our world's history. When we first covered this story 2 years ago, it was already showing tons of promise. So what are we talking about here? In 2018, we shared a story about a new economic model developed by Kate Raworth. The Oxford University economist has been on a long mission to answer the question, how do we fast-track economic development while leaving a livable planet for future generations? Her findings resulted in a best-selling book called Donut Economics, 7 Ways to Think Like a 21st Century Economist. Now, her blueprints for a greener economy are leaping off the page and becoming official policy for the city of Amsterdam as the Dutch capital looks to maneuver its way out of the economic mess left by the coronavirus pandemic. The donut model, which has been formally embraced by the city as the starting point for public policy decisions, works like this. The inner ring of her donut sets out the minimum we need to lead a good life, derived from the UN's Sustainable Developmental Goals and agreed by world leaders of every political stripe. It ranges from food and clean water to a certain level of housing, sanitation, energy, education, healthcare, gender equality, income, and political voice. Anyone not attaining such minimum standards is living in the donut's hole. The outer ring of the donut, where the sprinkles go, represents the ecological ceiling drawn up by Earth system scientists. It highlights the boundaries across which humankind should not go to avoid damaging the climate, soils, ocean, ozone layer, freshwater, and abundant biodiversity. Between the two rings is the good stuff, the dough, where everyone's needs and that of the planet are simultaneously being met. The central premise is simple. The goal of economic activity should be about meeting the core needs of all, but within the means of the planet. The donut is a device to show what this means in practice. To make the model work for Amsterdam, Raworth scaled down the model to a city portrait, showing where basic needs are not being met and planetary boundaries are overshot. It displays how the issues are interlinked. Amsterdam is the first city in the world to formally denounce our attachment to economic growth and laws of supply and demands, opting instead to embrace an economic model that works with the planet. It can't be understated how big of a deal this is. This is so exciting. I'm a complete economics junkie, favorite class in business school, econ. This is really exciting to me, Christy. I love the idea of looking at abundance within boundaries and mm-hmm. knowing that we can actually care for everyone. And as you know, I really have this firm belief that you can do good and do well. And today that was tested a little bit in my own emotional spectrum. And this story brightens my energy for sure.
Absolutely. And I think it's really an interesting time right now, because all of these ideas which have been floating around out there in the idea sphere have an opportunity to be taken up and tested in the real world in a way that wouldn't have been possible if everything was sort of going along hunky-dory, because there's no impetus to change. Right now we are in the middle of a change point in our world, and it's going to be interesting to see how things work. And I think this kind of sort of the measured success that you can get when you have both a boundary at the top and a boundary at the bottom can really make a difference. And it'll be great to see how this turns out. All right. Well, in our next solution from the lifestyle section on Optimist Daily, and I think is another one that, which charms me and lightens my soul to think about, it's about how you can support animals during the COVID-19 pandemic. COVID-19 is forcing many animal shelters and sanctuaries to close their doors. And one upside to being stuck at home is that we all have more time to help a furry friend in need. Here are five ways that we can all help animals during the pandemic. Number one, fostering a pet is a great way to give a home to an animal in need and also reap the rewards of having a companion. Pets help lower stress levels, provide comfort, ease loneliness. So it's no wonder that more people are fostering and adopting pets now more than ever. And we've written about how some animal shelters actually have run out of adoptable pets. And this is really a great thing to think of that. But fostering is a great way to offer short-term relief for shelters and animals. But if you've always wanted to commit to adopting an animal, now is the time. Extra time at home will give you perfect adjustment period to get to know your new pet and the time to train him or her too. Many shelters are offering discounts or waiving adoption fees to reduce the overhead burden on facilities and employees. And number three, if housing a pet isn't for you, or if you don't have the place where you can and you've got some extra other resources, consider donating to an animal sanctuary. Many of these facilities rely on volunteer support, which is in short supply right now. And they also sometimes rely on fees from visitors and things, which are not happening. So consider donating money to a reputable sanctuary, or donating your time in the form of social media awareness, graphic design, or if you're a writer, copywriting. And if you're healthy enough to go shopping, consider buying some extra supplies to donate to local animal shelters on your next essential grocery run. Blankets, toys, food, cat litter are all in high demand. Many food banks and even Meals on Wheels will accept animal supply donations in addition to human food in order to provide for pet owners who are in need. Number five, you can use your voice as an advocate for animals in the form of a petition. It's an easy and free way to support them. Consider signing pledges to stop illegal wildlife trade and support congressional conservation bills. You can even contact local government officials via email and phone to advocate for these causes. Research active bills and petitions and find one in line with your values. And I think this is really important for us to also think about organizations like zoos, which are wonderful educational tools and great for young children. They're also running out of money because of the drop in visitors. And that's going to be something that we can all think about supporting financially if we have the means. And then on the other side of this, wildlife is really going to be suffering because a lot of the places in the world where there is a lot of wildlife are going to be hit economically very hard. And so conservation efforts, we should, you know, put our money where our mouth is and help support those, I think.
To your point, Christy, I think that there's a lot of the conservation efforts and acknowledgement of protecting our natural partners here on this earth may go by the wayside when people are having to focus on their basic needs, when people are starting to feel like they're in the hole of that donut. I think it is really important that we do remind people that conservation and care for our fellow creatures here on this earth is really important right now.
Yeah. And so like we've been reporting on how wildlife is getting bolder with less people around in our towns and our cities. But I just want to like remind everybody that we have to keep this in our mind when we are thinking about what comes next as well.
Yeah. So. Well, and in nature's brilliant resilience from the environment section of the Optimist Daily, we return to some of the bright silver linings in the COVID-19 pandemic. This 1,000-year-old cherry tree is a testament to nature's resilience. And while this is a particularly visual story, and we would encourage you to go to optimistdaily.com or check out our social media channels to see the picture of this tree, we wanted to share it anyway because it brings us so much joy. Each spring, hundreds of thousands of tourists flock to the town of Miharu, Japan, to see a cherry tree known as the Takizakuru. Although COVID-19 means that few visitors will lay eyes on it this year, the 1,000-year-old cherry tree continues to bloom as a testament to the power and resilience of nature. The tree's name, which means waterfall cherry tree, is supported by tall wooden stakes and has survived famines, earthquakes, storms, and even a nuclear disaster throughout the course of its long life. Its home in northeastern Japan is located near the site of the 2011 Fukushima nuclear disaster, which diverted tourists from the site for many years. The tree serves as a rallying point for the community as well. Neighbors help pull weeds, fertilize the ground with leaves, and leave offerings of rice, salt, and sake at its base. As a reward, they watch its beautiful blossoms emerge year after year in mid-April. Even after Japan's most powerful earthquake to date struck on March 11, 2011, the tree stood its ground and survived to bloom another season. Japan has declared a national emergency and shut down most of the country to stop the spread of COVID-19. But even without visitors, Takizakura's blooms are beginning to emerge as they have during many crises before in its 1,000-year lifespan.
You know, even when things are in crisis, there's things which are just keep going. Nature just keeps going. Things keep blooming. And I love this story.
Well, and, you know, April showers bring May flowers, and we still have beautiful things on this earth to look at. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of ways to see it, even though we can't be there in person. I know that in California, the poppy bloom is happening right now. And there's just been beautiful pictures shared by the National Park Services of the poppy blooms as well.
So have a Takizakura day, Summers. Solution. Our next story, our next positive news story, which I personally love. From our science section on the Optimist Daily. It's about a deep sea expedition that's led to discovery of 30 new species. The depths of our oceans are some of the world's most mysterious frontiers. In fact, some say we understand the oceans far less well than we understand deep space. A recent diving expedition off the coast of Western Australia unearthed new information about our deepest waters with the discovery of 30 new species. Researchers from Western Australian Museum, Curtin University, Geoscience Australia, Scripps Institute of Oceanography, and Schmidt Ocean Institute spent 180 hours conducting 20 dives to study the Ningaloo Canyons in the Indian Ocean. The team explored depths of 4,500 meters and even discovered what is believed to be the world's longest animal. The new species is called the Apollemia and is 47 meters long, eclipsing the blue whale's length of 30 meters. Apollemia is technically a siphonophore, a floating colony of tiny creatures called zooids that functions as a singular large organism. Other discoveries include a new variety of giant hydroid, a relative of coral, as well as glowing Tanning's octopus squid, long-tailed sea cucumbers, mollusks, barnacles, and squat lobsters. The team used a robot called ROV Subastian to document their deep-sea findings. Many of the discoveries will be displayed in the Western Australia Museum, and the collection of data is available publicly for all scientists around the world to assess and study. And I just love this because I love the ocean, and I love thinking about there's mysteries we don't even know yet underneath the waves.
Undiscovered ocean is just so compelling, and I just can't wait to get back to do some scuba diving, hopefully by the end of this year. When are we allowed back in the ocean? I don't know. Well, in our final story for today, another positive solution from the health section of the Optimist Daily. Ultrasounds could bolster treatments for Alzheimer's disease. A new study led by Australian researchers is offering further insight into how a novel ultrasound technique could help treat Alzheimer's disease. The findings describe how focused ultrasound can weaken the blood-brain barrier in brain cells from Alzheimer's patients, potentially improving the uptake of drugs designed to treat the disease. The blood-brain barrier protects brain tissue, but it also has a protective function that prevents the uptake of drugs and therapies targeting brain diseases. Researchers have been exploring the relationship between Alzheimer's and the blood-brain barrier for several years, with early animal studies revealing focused ultrasound may help the brain clear toxic protein clumps associated with neurodegeneration. This new study offers a highly specific investigation into how these kinds of ultrasound pulses can affect the blood-brain barrier in Alzheimer's brains. If you don't mind the medical jargon, here's how the study worked. The researchers took human-induced pluripotent stem cells, iPSCs, from patients with rare genetic mutation that makes them highly likely to develop Alzheimer's. Those iPSCs were then coaxed into becoming brain endothelial cells to serve as a model of the blood-brain barrier in brain susceptible to Alzheimer's. Interestingly, the researchers found that the ultrasound treatment had a greater disruptive effect on the Alzheimer's brain cells than the healthy brain cells, indicating that the ultrasound test could help the brain become receptive to Alzheimer's treatments. Although more trials will be needed to verify both the safety and efficacy of this treatment, it's exciting to see researchers take such a novel approach to treat Alzheimer's.
I love this, Summers, because I think, you know, Alzheimer's is one of those diseases, those chronic diseases, which are going to be affecting so many people on this planet as they age. And I think it's wonderful that there's this new treatment, which is totally related on sound. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I like this story, and I hope it really does have a positive effect.
I think it's a great story to end with for today.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. Hopefully we lifted your spirits more than we lifted ours. But we promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how we can all participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism just like this. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thank you, Summers, and thanks everybody for listening.
Have a fantastic day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.